The following message is brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. To learn more about the Ezra Institute's mission to advance the Lordship of Christ, please visit www.ezrainstitute.ca.
How does this present-day pansexualism contrast with the Christian worldview?
Well, at root, of course, with the Christian worldview, I've said that the human body is a fundamental good. It's not sort of spirit good, body bad. And human sexuality is a gift of God to be enjoyed, to be celebrated. But the important thing, I think, for us to note is that the human body itself says something about God. As the Christian worldview says, that human beings are made in God's image. And as such, it's not just our spirits or our intellect or our work or righteousness in man that reflects God's image. It's something about our bodies as well. This, of course, is why the incarnation of Jesus Christ was possible, that God the Son becomes a man, because the image of God is already in man. You know, the second person of the Trinity couldn't come into the earth as an eagle or a badger or whatever, because the image of God is not in those lower creatures. So the human body itself says something about God. So you take the male body, for example. It's quite obvious to most men that their body doesn't make sense on its own in isolation, that it needs its complement. And of course, Adam was unable to find in his taxonomic activity of the animals, wasn't able to find his complement amongst them until Eve was brought to him. And likewise, the woman's body does not make sense without its complement. And it's obvious that when you look at the man and the woman as complementary, you see that they don't make sense without each other. So there's something there in the very creation of our bodies represents the image of God. Furthermore, marriage represents the image of God. So creation begins with a marriage of Adam and Eve. Israel's history is the story of its marriage with God. And the pictures that we're given in the Old Testament are of a marriage relationship between Israel and God. That's possible because God can be the father of Israel, but also the husband of Israel, because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Israel is married to the Son. God the Father is the father of Israel. And he's giving a people to his Son as his bride. That's the picture in Israel. And then Jesus' ministry begins at a wedding, and all of history reaches its culmination at a wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So in the union of the male and the female in marriage, first of all, we see something of, again, of God's image. That is, we see the one flesh, the coming together, the unity of man and woman reflects for us, images for us, the relationship within the Trinity, the ecstatic unity of Father, Son, through the person of the Holy Spirit in that relationship, that love and intimacy with the other that exists in the eternal community of the Trinity. So marriage says something about God, as well as the human body saying something about God himself. And then the human body preaches the gospel, and the marriage relationship actually preaches the gospel. Because, as I've noted, marriage is the chosen relationship that is used as our picture in Scripture of the gospel. So out of Adam's side is a woman. The woman is created. The marriage takes place. Out of the side of the Lord Jesus, where blood and water flows, his blood purchases for him a bride, his church, his people. And what is happening there in that that union is the human beings are actually being brought into, they're being enfolded into that ecstatic, loving embrace of the fellowship that exists in the triune God himself. So the gospel is preached by marriage because it says that the church, the human beings, are to be the bride of God the Son, and they are to come together in unity at this great marriage feast and be enfolded into that ecstatic, loving embrace of the other in God himself. Now, that is incredibly significant. That's why the marriage cannot be seen as a secondary issue. It's why that culturally marriage is not a secondary issue. This is not just a question of what people do with their genitals. This is a question of marriage is the cosmological key to the universe. It's the cosmological key to understanding our relationship with God. And actually, when we understand the human body and marriage correctly, we actually see an image of God and his gospel in the marriage relationship. We know, of course, from the New Testament that there's no marriage in heaven. Why is that? Well, because the marriage is a sign of the marriage relationship between Christ and his people. Paul says that to us, doesn't he? He says that this is a mystery, this marriage relationship, that the two shall become one. A man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a mystery, he says, and I speak of Christ and his church. That's the mystery that's been hidden, that marriage pictures the gospel. And there's no marriage in heaven because marriage as a sign reaches its fulfillment, its total completion, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That union that we crave, that intimacy that we crave, is perfectly fulfilled in that divine fellowship into which we're enfolded as God's people. So there is way more at stake here from the Christian worldview perspective. And that is why it's such a severe challenge to the gospel when we see marriage being denied.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Please feel free to share it with friends, but do not charge for or alter the material in any way without the express written consent of the EICC. Thank you.